Hello, welcome to the Let's Play in PHP podcast. This is Manuel Lemos, the regular host of this podcast that is intended to be sort of recapture what happened lately in the PHP world. This is episode 19, and as always, I have Weir with me, Hernani Joppert, my regular co-host. Hernani, how are you doing?
Hello, Manuel. Glad to be back. It seems we have lots of things to talk about, and I'm all for it.
Well, we also have two guests on this podcast to discuss a very interesting topic about one thing that has been discussed in the PHP world recently. But first, let me introduce you first, Miloslav Beno. Hello, Miloslav. How are you doing?
Hello.
I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing your name correctly.
Oh, you are very close. It's Miloslav Beno, like Enya, like in Spanish.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. We also have here with us Nuno Lopes. Hello, Nuno. How are you doing?
Hello.
And, we are going to talk about a very interesting topic related with JIT compilers, but I think it's better for each of you, both the guests, talk a bit about yourself, what you do, where you live, and anything else that is relevant to the PHP world. So, Miloslav, go ahead, talk a bit about yourself.
Okay, so I was born in Slovakia, but most of my life I lived in Prague, in Czech Republic, when I was studying in Charles University, the place where Falanger was started. And now I'm part of the Falanger team who's developing it. And we established a company for commercial support for customers that are using Falanger in their commercial application. And now, like most of the time, I spend in Valencia, where I live.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
In Valencia, in Spain?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Okay, and what my hobbies are the languages, and also the real ones and the computer ones.
Oh, that's curious. So what about you, Nuno?
Okay, so currently I'm a PhD student at the Technical University of Lisbon. And yeah, I've been working in the PHP project for almost 10 years now. First in the documentation, then core extensions, then virtual machine. And nowadays, I just maintain some quality assurance pieces, and yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's very interesting too, because it's all related with the one of the main topics of this podcast, which is well, that was mentioned in an article that was published recently in the PHP Classes site blog regarding the development, I think, in the latest version of the Falanger project that, according to the published board, the performance benchmarks, that seem to show that when you run PHP on that setup of using .NET and having Falanger as compiler of PHP code into .NET assemblies, it ends up running faster than at least when compared with the usual PHP setup on Windows, running it as a fast CGI module. Miloslav, can you comment a bit more on that? Because some people found it hard to believe, or somehow were surprised by this.
Okay, sure. So basically what Falanger is, you mentioned it, it's open source PHP implementation on top of .NET framework, and nowadays also Mono, which I'm very happy about it. And basically it consists of compiler, runtime, class libraries, managed extensions, which are complete web implementations, but also we are able to run native extensions from PHP. So, yeah. so you are not just restricted to use managed extension, but what our benchmark shows, it's better to use managed extension. Not only it's managed code, so you don't have to worry about your server, but yeah. also the performance seems to be better, and that's because of, as you said, we're using JIT compiler from Microsoft and from Mono, which is highly optimized, and yeah. we benefiting from that. And whenever we can, we compile it statically if it's possible, and if it's not possible to say what types are you, because it's dynamic language. We use DLR, which is dynamic language runtime from Microsoft, which is also open source now.
Oh, that's interesting. But let me just go back a bit to something that you said. You mentioned that you can run PHP extensions when those programs, PHP applications are compiled with a Phalanger, or I did not get that right.
Yeah. Like the only restriction now we have, it's because this part of the Phalanger is a little bit older, so you have to use you can use native extensions, but most of them has to be PHP 4, which are old. But some of them can be PHP 5. But you can compile your code and use these extensions.
Oh, that's an interesting aspect that I did not get before, because some people were sort of complaining that they wanted to run extensions written in C because they assumed that we would be faster, but it was not evident looking at your site that would run that would be possible to run as well. And also regarding the integration with .NET or Mono, in case you are using a Unix-like platform, can you give a more detailed overview of what happens starting from the PHP code compilation? Because some people assume that is a separate step, and you need to somehow integrate the PHP code into that that environment of the .NET runtime engine and the web server. Can you tell a bit more on that, including also is there any need to use also the IIS web server to run that environment on Windows, or it's more flexible?
Okay. Yeah. It's more flexible. You can use ISS, or you can use Apache server. But basically, what we does, we take PHP language, we formalize it, so we can, because there wasn't really any standard here, so we formalized it and we made a compiler. So you take your PHP code and you take our compiler and just use it as PHP. The big difference for PHP developers is that we don't have PHP ini file for configuration, but there is web config file, which is standard XML configuration file on .NET and Mono. But what happens is you take PHP and our compiler compiles it to .NET bytecode or Mono bytecode, and then it runs on top of JIT compiler, which takes this bytecode and compiles it to your specific hardware, so it can run really fast. And
right,
also the... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Hernan, you were saying something?
Yes, I was about to ask, when you mention Mono, is this widely spread against all the Unix flavors, or is there any limitations?
I'm sorry, I didn't get you.
Yeah, when you mentioned about Mono, I wanted to know if this is widely spread against all the Unix flavors, or if it's limited to a specific subset of Unix, or if it hasn't been tested on the FreeBSD or other systems.
Oh, it's not specific for any Linux. It can run. It just needs Mono to run. So.
Oh, I see.
So you are not really limited. We are about to release Mono installer, because so far there was only Windows installer. But we are waiting for Mono 2.10.7 to have released installer, and we will publish our Linux installer. For in the beginning for Debian, maybe the community will take it and make installers for another system too.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, what I also was going to ask is about For people that, for instance, they want to try evaluate your the use of your project in real world applications, do they need to modify anyhow their PHP code, or everything works out of the box?
It depends. There are things that are different, but our goal is to make it as much PHP as possible on both platforms. So basically, most of the applications are just work out of the box. You can take WordPress or MediaWiki, and it will work. But if you want to use like your in-house development, you should look into compatibility page in our wiki. And there are a few features that are not implemented yet, but we are planning to implement them. So it's just a question of time.
Yes,
it's just small subset. Mostly it will work out of the box.
Oh, I see. Were you asking something, Nuno?
Yes, I'd like to ask something. So, which part of the code of the PHP do you reuse? So, do you reuse like the bytecode handlers of the ZenVM, or do you reuse any code at all?
Yeah, like we reuse, for example, the native extensions, as I said. But the most of the core is managed, and our class library is managed. So that was complete re-implementation, because we wanted to be managed code. So because there are a lot of advantages coming from that, because then you can run also on Windows. You can run 64-bit, 34-bit. It depends what you want, but also you have secure system. You don't have to be worried about that some extension will crash your system. Or if you even want to use PHP extension and you are worried that it can crash your system, you can isolate it to another process, so you don't have to be worried at all. And another advantage for me, one of the biggest goals for Fallinger, was the interoperability with .NET languages, which we didn't mention before, but for me it's really important that we can take any .NET code and use it as PHP code or the other way around. So you can even use Visual Basic code if you are into that kind of thing. And you can really benefit from that. I was just writing article about WordPress plugin, which is written completely in C#, and it uses fast C# libraries. But about it, I will publish some blog.
Yeah, well, actually, it seems your team is made of. I mean, the Fallinger project had different teams over time, and the current team is not exactly the one that started it. Can you just give an overview of what happened? And
Okay. Yeah, no, when Fallinger was designed, I was on high school, so I didn't know the original team. But then I came to the university, and it happened that I met them, and they introduced us to the Fallinger and everything, and how to compile stuff, and about a new .NET platform. That in the time there was only Java, and the .NET there was something new, so we were experimenting with that. And the guys, the original team, were hired with Microsoft.
Yeah.
So they got into the Redmond, and so we took it over, and we started from that. And the original guys, for example, one guy was writing Iron Ruby, which was also thing that using the DLR language, DLR runtime I mentioned before.
I was going to mention their names, but I'm afraid I'll probably would not do a good job. Can you do that?
Yeah, like the important original authors are Tomáš Matoušek, which was the one writing Iron Ruby, and now he's in C# team, I guess. And also Ladislav Prošek, which is in Microsoft too. And the other team members are Tomáš Petříček, which is a huge, also huge F# fan, and Jakub Míšek, and me.
No, that's fine. So the original two founders of the project, they remain at Microsoft.
And, yeah, they are.
So they are not involved in Fallinger anymore.
Not directly, but they are helping as they can.
Oh, I see. So currently you have your own business WebSense, right? And so your goal as a business is to provide support to whoever wants to use this platform?
Yes, that's right, and also offer the managed extension or another feature that commercial company needs or something, and also to provide integration for Visual Studio 2010, which you can get for free because you can download Visual Studio 2010 for free in integrated shell, which doesn't have that much feature like the another one, but you can take this one and put our PHP tools there, and you have complete yeah. Development platform for free.
So you can run and test and debug your code like any other language that can be used with Visual Studio.
Yeah, that's right. And the new thing which will come soon is IntelliSense wasn't there yet.
Oh. And one question I have for you, Miroslav. First is, you can also use the Visual Studio Express as well, right? Isn't that one free?
I'm sorry, which?
The Visual Studio Express Edition.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Which is a very fancy IDE, right?
Yeah, that's true. So you can take it and use it with Flanger.
Right. And one question that I have, and it's most likely a very common one, and I would like to address it here, is in order for me to make it work, if I have an entire context root, let's put it this way, I have a PHP BB set up in my website. How does this integration maps the context root and redirects the access to the native code? Would it require to have a single PHP file there in order to redirect requests that would invoke the DLLs or the shared object?
It depends. Like, if you can take your PHP DB as it is and just install Flanger and it will work. But if you wanna compile it, so you don't want to have any PHP files there, you just want to have DLL. Right. That's kind of a more complicated if it needs to touch file system. And we have also planned for this feature too, that you just don't wanna use anything on file system, but it's possible.
Oh, very nice. And another just a quick question is regarding your the Flanger itself. Do you have any plans to deploy this on a cloud environment? I know it's a big word right now, so most likely it's a very nice use case for your project.
Yeah, that's true. I think on Microsoft Azure, that's a really nice alternative to their PHP, because they have PHP there, but it's managed platform also, so I think that they would, if you want to use Azure, you would benefit from using Flanger.
Yeah. Well, is interesting, just to give everybody a better idea why are we talking about Flanger. There was a developer that went on the PHP internals list named Rasmus Schulz. He's a different Rasmus than the original creator of PHP, not to confuse people, for those that were not paying attention. And basically, he proposed to use Flanger. I don't know, do you know Rasmus Schulz, or is he is a fan of your platform that you did not know?
Yeah, I never heard about him, but I remember his name.
Okay, now you know him. You should thank him for giving you exposure. But yeah. This whole topic of Flanger brings us I think it's a wider discussion about having JIT compilers on PHP. Recently, we also had a Facebook announcing a newer version of their PHP compiler engine that now features a JIT compiler that can, from what I understand, does dynamic compilation. But this brings us also to the work of Nuno that started several years ago, also to bring these JIT compilation capabilities to through an extension of PHP named Peckle LLVM. Nuno, can you talk a bit more about your work, what you've done, and where you are today on that?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so that started as a Google Summer of Code project. So we had a student working on that project. And the idea was to use the LLVM compilation framework to as the JIT platform. And the idea was to reuse as much code from the Xen virtual machine as possible so that the effort of creating the JIT was minimal. And so basically we're converting the bytecode of Xen to direct calls in LLVM. And then the LLVM compiler itself would optimize and inline all the opcode handlers and so on and take care of all the work for us. And so our work was just a minimal translator from Xen bytecode to LLVM bytecode. Okay, so this has some advantages. The biggest advantage is that the work to implement this JIT compiler is minimal. So it took just a few days to have this JIT compiler running. And the other thing is that we get full compatibility with the existing PHP compiler. So as we are not re-implementing anything, we are just reusing the existing opcode handlers and so on. So we get compatibility for free.
Right. You mentioned first. You mentioned we. So I suppose there are several people involved besides you. Can you mention them?
Yeah. So we had a student working on this for the Google Summer of Code, and his name was Jonas Govenius, if I get his name right.
Just so people understand, the Google Summer of Code is that project, if you can call it that, that Google sponsors some work done on open source projects, and the student gets some money for the work, and there is also a manager that also gets some money. I'm not sure about that part.
No, it's just a student.
The manager would be you in this case, right?
Yeah, I was the mentor, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And so you were talking about that work. Where did it go?
Yeah, so basically we got a JIT compiler working, so you could run. So we produced an extension, so you could load in your Apache PHP or in the command line version, whatever. So it could run. It would compile one function at a time. So when you call a function in PHP, so it would JIT compile it. And we did some benchmarks, but okay, the results were not so good because we were not caching the executed code. So yeah, it required a few more weeks of work, basically. And yeah.
Well, so that's. That's the work that was done then, and after that, was there any progress, or it remained sleeping somehow, that project?
No, basically, no. So there was very little to no interest. So, okay, so I was contacted by two companies only, but then eventually the interest just fell down, and okay, so the project just died. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's curious, because a project like this, I think it could bring lots of benefits to the PHP world, and being well integrated in the PHP, the official PHP runtime engine, which is based on Xen engine, it would be, I think, more natural to deploy and being accepted, because it's not just a matter of doing something advanced, and in the end it is not accepted in the core. So you said that there was no great interest then. Was like 2008?
I think it was 2008. So yeah. So people by that time were still believing that the database is the bottleneck, and so we shouldn't care too much about the execution time of the PHP script itself.
Yeah. Well, I believe in at least in great part of the cases that it's probably real, but I'm sure the execution time as its weight and can also benefit, as also demonstrated not just by the Phalogen project, but also by the Facebook hip hop compiler. And now that we are talking a bit more on this, do you think the interest on JIT compilers can come back to the PHP core developers, or do you think it will be hard?
I think for most users of PHP, so they don't care what they are executing, right? So they are just running on their shared web hosting company. And so they don't really care if they are taking 50% of the CPU or 80%. So
it's already slow, huh? Right?
Yeah, it's something for the web hosting company to care, but they don't really know what they are running anyway. So so in that sense, there is no interest in that group. In the big players, well, they can invest in deploying specific implementations like Facebook. And I believe we will see more such kind of deployments in these big websites. As far as developers go, so currently the development rate has been really low in the PHP community.
Yeah.
So the number of commits is really low. And so to get a new JIT compiler, then you would need like a bunch of new developers to jump in and do the work. Because implementing a JIT compiler also requires some specific knowledge, and I'm not sure that we would have like enough manpower with that knowledge in the PHP community right now.
Well, I think it boils down to all to personal interests, because most contributions, even core developers, are volunteers. And if they do not see great motivation to do that themselves, they probably don't do anything at all on that sense. But do we think Zen, for instance, would have a greater interest to sort of bring PHP on par with other languages that are integrating JIT compilers nowadays more than in the past?
Yeah, absolutely. So I believe that Zend is the main like stakeholder here. So they could really fund the development of a JIT compiler, and then they could continue selling their tools to optimize the JIT compiler and whatever, and cache, I don't know. But they could continue with their business model of selling some tools to improve the current like virtual machine. But yeah, I believe if it has to be some company like Zen to step ahead and do the initial implementation.
Yeah, well, we have to wait and see if who is going to have that interest to bring a JIT compiler to PHP itself. On your side, Nuno, do you think you have time to somehow dedicate to an eventual integration of, or probably a continuation of your PECL LLVM project, or is it hard for you nowadays?
Yeah, so nowadays I'm not a high school student anymore, so the time is more scarce. So, I mean, I could not do it alone, that's for sure. So it requires a team doing it full-time professionally, I think that's the point.
Well, maybe Zen get you a job and that's another story.
Yeah, I don't know, I don't think so.
No. regarding the LLVM, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the XMLVM project. But it's sort of a cross-compiler, which, given the opcode of one application, it can cross-compile it to another languages. And it would be also nice to see this happening, because I've seen, especially on mobile development, where you have tons of different languages and platforms to develop with. And I see that as a different approach to get your code in a singular language and try to address it to most major platforms. Google does this with GWT, but it's not based off on the opcode itself. It's based off on the API, the Java API. But the XMLVM is also, I would foresee, as a an approach to cross compilation between platforms, and you could then write something in PHP and cross compile it to Java, or cross compile it to other languages like Objective-C, so you can address both Android and iPhone applications. And I would see this being a major difficult situation, but if somehow someone is trying to achieve these kinds of solutions, it would be a nice approach, don't you think?
So I don't know this project, so it's the first time I'm hearing about the project. I just opened up the web page. So the thing is that this kind of project look really cool on the paper. always, but to implement them, it's a huge pile of work. So I don't know the state of this project, so I cannot comment on that. But yeah, on the paper, it looks pretty nice, of course.
Okay, yeah. It requires, I guess this was also in university project. Google gave them some time on their conferences. I'm not sure which of those events. And there is a very nice video about it if you want to check. But for sure, it's nice on paper. And to see actually something productive happening, it's different.
Yeah, it's also a different scope.
Performance.
Right, it's also a different scope. I mean, JIT compiler just to optimize the current language you are using, and that seems to be a more cross compiler that you are mentioning. Compiling, writing code in one language and translate it to some other language.
Exactly.
Right. Well, on this JIT compiler topic, there will be a lot more to say. You could stay here forever, but we have to move on with our podcast. And just to mention briefly a few things that happened lately in PHP world. Actually, not many things happened, even more during the Christmas season, because most people kind of slow down this time and go on vacation. But there have been a couple of release candidate versions of PHP 5.4, and I suppose it's very close to a final release, probably during January. I'm not sure yet. We'll have to see how that goes, but these latest release candidate versions are mostly bug fixes, so I suppose most feature has just been ironed to make it work properly. But other than that, the only thing relevant, not exactly on the PHP development itself, but Ilya Alchanesky mentioned that he's sort of restarting that project that he used to track how many servers are running PHP, which PHP versions they are running. That used to be run by Nexon until a few years ago, and it would give a nice useful information about the usage of the different PHP versions. And he's restarting that project. He commented about it on the on a blog post he did recently on the PHP Advanced series. And but I think we'll get back to this later on a show of this podcast later next year. And other than that, I think it would be interesting now to comment just briefly, what do you guys think it were the most important things that happened in PHP world and in 2011, and what are your expectations for 2012? Miloslav, do you want to start?
Oh, okay. No, I would just comment about the past. Like, we can remember the release of PHP. I think it was 2.3.7 with a bug, a critical bug, and that now that they are realizing they need to improve their development process and to start doing continuous integration, which is something the Fallinger is doing, because we found out it's really important to test it each time so we don't introduce the new bugs. So I expect that PHP will evolve in this, and it will make PHP better.
Yeah. So I didn't get the beginning of what you said. Is that your comment on the past things in 2011 or your expectations for 2012?
I think it's both.
Okay. What about you, Nuno? What do you think on this?
Okay. So regarding 2011, so I don't remember anything really important that happened. So it was mainly a year of bug fixing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So most major developers just gone dormant on. So no really new cool and exciting features going in.
Yeah.
Yeah, for 2012, I hope that we'll have some news on a JIT compiler.
Yeah, we sure also hope so. And Nani, did you want to also comment on this? What do you think?
Yes, there isn't much to ask. Sometimes it's very hard to see features going forward. And I would vote for sure to have work done at this level as a JIT compiler. But as well, those requests that we talked about in the previous episodes, like the implementation of some sort of annotation API that would then benefit frameworks in order to generate configuration files and have everything set up at the code level and not having to address this as external files.
Yeah.
This would be nice to see as well.
Yeah. Well, for me, I think, despite, as Nuno mentioned, everything has been slow, practically dormant. Many people are expecting PHP 5.4. Which is basically a version that, despite it's not something that is so advanced, it does not introduce features that are really necessary. It brings a few features that some people will like the built-in HTTP server that will make it possible for developers to test their applications without relying on a separate web server. And also the implementation of traits that, from my experience, what I've been seeing, most developers do not quite understand what that is useful for, but those that understand it realize that is a sort of implementing multiple inheritance. It's not exactly the same, but it's somehow a way to do it. And a new version of PHP for 2012, it's always good to show signs that PHP is alive, even if the new features are not so exciting. And we will hope that maybe for PHP 6, it doesn't take so many years to wait for that version, and it finally integrates those major features that are harder to implement and do it right, to require more people, like the JIT compiler that we've been mentioning.
By the way, just to be fair, let me just add that Zend also contributed a few optimizations to the virtual machine. So PHP 5.4 has a little more than just bug fixing. So it also has some like performance tweaking and a few features here and there. So okay. So just to be fair,
On that front. And it will certainly benefit people, although it will not be so evident. Some people probably notice it on benchmarks, but probably most people do not even have the knowledge to evaluate those improvements. But as you mentioned, they certainly happened, and they are always welcome. Now we are going to move on with our podcast. We are getting closer to the end, and I'd like to just make a brief mention that in December the PHP classes blog started experimenting with something new, which is basically having sponsored articles, which are articles that mention commercial products, and the sponsored write a useful article. The articles themselves will be accepted, but They cannot just be a promotion of the product. They have to mention something useful about the product, how it would integrate it with code that people have in their applications. And eventually in the future, we will have more sponsored articles from other companies. In the case of this first article, it was written by Surround, which is a company that offers a solution that, to put it in simple words, it's like a MySQL in the cloud. Anybody that is interested can go ahead and take a deeper look at that article that was published in the beginning of the month. And in the future, any other sponsors interested to publish their articles, feel free to use the contact link that appears in all pages of the site, so they get to know what are the requirements and eventually promote products that interest the audience of the site. And regarding that, you're going to move on. And just to mention one sort of new feature of the site, although it does not show in the site. It is basically a new type of report message that is sent by email to all authors that have been contributing to the site with their classes. For now, it's just authors that published classes, but other types of contributors, like those users that may have not contributed a class, but they have led the new users to the site. Eventually, this report message will also tell them how they are doing and how they can improve for the benefit of the whole community. Hernani, you also have been a contributor. Did you already get a message telling you about how you are doing? Your classes are doing in your site, in the site?
Yes, Manuel. I got this contribution report, and it looks very, very challenging. I see that my ranking is not the best one.
Yeah, so we need to improve.
Yeah, it's really pushing me to do something to at least appear in a better situation here.
Yeah,
I was
usually
wondering if you would mention this, because it makes me look sad when I look at it right now.
But the idea is not to put you down. It's actually the opposite, to encourage everybody on how they can do it. I don't know. This message is sent once a week, and I don't know if you already got the message of this week, your report.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah, I got it from today, and when I mention it makes me sad, not because of the newsletter, but because of my laziness.
Yeah.
So I will for sure try to commit to provide something new.
Right. And, the idea there is also not only to tell you how you are doing, but also how you can improve. So as you may see, you have suggestions on things that you can do to improve. There are many types of suggestions. Every week you'll get different suggestions. It will not be the same thing. But overall, the idea is to promote what you can do to promote yourself and make your work look better. Depending on the author, it may help you to somehow improve your resume because if you have been a good contributor, it will always look nice on you to tell tell the potential employers about your work and show them how you are doing.
Exactly, yeah.
In case of the PHP classes, it is a very large site. It has over 3,000 contributors. There are many people sort of competing implicitly. It's not something that people should take too seriously in terms of competition, but it's always nice to see you go up in the ranking once you do things that make your work be more noticeable. And
And with the Git features and the imports of throughout CVS and Git and Subversion, I guess, it helps a lot to see more quality packages and
people that have more complex packages that in the past did not feel very encouraged to update their packages because now they have lots of files to update. With the possibility to import from version control repositories, they will be able to do it much faster and not lose so much time as in the past to upload each file one at a time. And other than that, also to comment that this feature, practically all features that are implemented in PHP classes are also available to authors of JS classes site. And on that note, I was just going to mention very briefly a few packages that have been published in JS class site. We do not have much time to comment on them in detail because we are getting close to the end of this podcast, but just to mention them here, there is an object submitted by René Tynes from Germany named file list from directory, which is basically an object that does a tricky solution for figuring files that are on the server side from JavaScript. there is also an image selector object by Artur Sosins from Latvia. Is a very frequent contributor of the JS classes site and also the PHP classes site, and he sent an object, in this case one for selecting images using select inputs. But once you change in the select input value, it also changes the preview image that is shown on the page. And but even more impressive than that is the ISO World object that Archers also sent to the site this month, and which is basically a very neat object. Basically what it does, it you can supply the identifiers of three sections of your page, could be three divs, and it applies them CSS transforms of CSS3, and it makes those three sections be shown in three dimensions in the page, you with a isometric perspective, and even provides a nice shadowing effect with a fourth element on top of an eventual fifth element that defines the ground on which the shadow of the object, the 3D cube that will be shown, will be projected. And this is very very interesting, quite impressive. And I hope I would have more time to tell you about these objects, but unfortunately we need to move on. For people that are interested to know more about these objects, they will be listed in the show notes of this episode, and anyway, just they can go directly to the jsclasses.org site and find them there. Now, moving on with our podcast, just to mention briefly also a few classes that were published on the PHP classes in October, and they were nominated to the PHP Programming Innovation Award of in November, and in December the results came out, and basically we had 11 nominees. And from those, which of those you guys would think would be more relevant? Can you start, Miloslav?
Okay. Yeah. Well, I was going through the list of these projects, and what it got to my mind is the web scraper, which won the award from I hope I will say it right, Jacek Lukaszewicz from Poland, our neighbors here. Yeah. And what I like about it is it's always nice to see new approaches how to get semantical information from web where there isn't one, because the web is like it is, it's ready for just people, not for machines to extract the data. And this is nice way how to get this semantical information, these metadata from this websites where there are any metadata at all. So the nice way how to slowly convert to semantic in internet, which is right. Kind of holy grail.
Yeah, well, that's actually when the class that won the awards for that month, October, and I'm sure they many people agree with you because it was the most voted. And what about you, Nuno? Which class would you like to highlight for this month?
Okay, so let me highlight the pragmatic BNF-like parser from Richard Kaiser that lives in the Netherlands. So I like to see PHP as a general-purpose language. So I believe we need these kinds of tools like to generate parsers and so on. So this really helps making PHP a general-purpose language.
Right, that's true, and this one in particular was not a trivial work because it requires knowledge of languages, compilers, and parsers. I think I understand why you picked it, because I think it's your field, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what about you, Hernani? What which class would you like to highlight this month?
This one is is not a very complex one, but it coming with the mobile world growing fast and having this application here and just pointing to the users what is possible to do with both PHP and JavaScript. This swipe class from Richard Kelzer from the Netherlands. I guess it's the same author, right?
Right.
Yeah, very solid contributor here. He provided this package which allows you to have a PHP implementation using the swipe keyboard, which basically slides words into words until you complete the phrase that you're willing to achieve. Sometimes when you have only one hand, it's very, very useful.
Right. And now that you mention Richard Kaiser a couple of times now, I would like to remind that PHP classes organize this innovation award contest just to promote innovative solutions for many different problems in PHP. And this contest happens every month since 2004. But since a few years ago, there is a yearly award on which the top appreciated authors are being ranked, and coincidentally now Richard Kaiser is number one, and there is still 1 month left, which will include the nominations of December. So this is not the final result, but there are great chances for him to contribute. For him to win. But we have to wait and see. Anyway, this is only the reflex of a continued work of submitting great packages to the site that provide innovative solutions. Well, but going back to October, on my part, I think, well, it's hard to just highlight one, given that there were 11 that were nominated. Apart from those that you mentioned, I would like to highlight the World Time class by Jonathan Disciple from the Philippines. And basically what this class does is to access an NTP server to get the current time, hopefully from a server that provides an accurate version of the current time. And this could be interesting to make sure for time synchronized applications that really need to get the current time accurately. And so this class from Jonathan is will be appreciated for those developers that need to use this kind of component in their applications. Well, basically, we are at the end of this podcast. I would like to thank you both, Miloslav and Nuno, as well as Hernani, as always. Do you guys have anything else to comment that you like to say, that anything that was not asked that you would like to mention, Miloslav?
Yeah, I think we mentioned the important features and everything. And if people are interested, they can always see our blog, which is phpcompiler.net, or they can find us on Facebook or Twitter if they are interested in the news about Flanger.
So what is your Twitter account?
It's phpcompiler.
Okay.
And if they are interested in mine, it's Miloslav Benio, which I created recently. Yeah. Maybe I will say something interesting.
Well, that certainly will show in the show notes for those that have doubts on how to spell that. I'm sure they will find your contact very easily. Okay. What about you, Nuno?
I think that's basically it. So we talked about the importance of JIT compilers, and we gave this brief overview on some of them, and I think that's it. If you are interested, just Google a bit, and I think you'll find a lot of information on the web about JIT compilers.
Okay, I think that's all for now. And on my part, have a happy 2011, and don't forget to run, because the world will end at the end of next year. If you are a believer, of course. I am not, but I'll leave that as a reminder. So
I hope
my
get
part,
PHP 5.4 before that.
Well, at least that.
Yeah.
Well, I have a feeling that it will be out in January still.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
For on my part, that's all for now. Bye.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, bye.